Greetings in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries, Chapter 80. The Mystery of Iniquity. The Lord delivered me. Scriptures. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? Let it not be. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. For he who died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, count yourselves also to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God, as one alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Romans 6, 1-14. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew 3, verses 1-3. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtalim, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:12-17. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. 2 Corinthians 7:10. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all that holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. 2 Peter 3:7-13. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Romans 7:18-25. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:10-17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be made fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. End Scripture. 4 Visions. First Vision. As the overcomers turned to repentance, they turned their bodies around to face in the direction of the Lord. As they did, they openly repented before him. They did not resist that iniquity in their lives, but repented themselves of it, and gave it unto the Lord, and began to approach unto him. As they approached, and as they repented, a great wind began to blow upon them from the Lord. The more they turned, the more they faced the Lord, the more this wind blew. The wind was mighty. It was a great wind, very powerful, and it did not consist of the molecules of air from this world. It consisted of the substance and the spirit of the Ancient of Days. It was from the very throne of the Lord that the wind came, from under the throne, from between the feet of the Lord of hosts. The wind blew with a great velocity, and it tore into the bodies of the overcomers in their repentance. As it did, large lumps of flesh and sinew and bone and marrow began to break off in pieces from the bodies of the overcomers, and these pieces were caught up in the wind. As they were caught up in the wind drove these pieces away. So then the overcomer lost bits and pieces of their bodies, which were racked in the nature of sinful flesh by this prevailing wind of the spirit of the Ancient of Days. And as they continued to approach the Lord, the more this wind blew. The closer they came to the Lord, the more violent the wind, and the more powerful it tore away at their bodies, until the overcomers came before the throne free of all flesh, and of all that constrained them in the realm of their mortality. They came and stood clean and pure, because the wind had blown from them all that was contaminating to their lives. This contamination they did repent of, but the wind, which was hard to be endured, proved to be their deliverance. End first vision. Prophecy. Thus says the Lord your God unto those who possess a heart that is yearning for my full presence. It is I. Be not afraid, for it is my will now to speak unto those who would be separate unto me. For in the time past of your lives, you have laid up my words safely in your hearts, my people. The time has now come that I will speak to that very same word you have guarded within your hearts, to bring that same word to full fruit. Yea, I am a jealous God, and it is my purpose to bring my church forth as a tabernacle filled with the glory of God and of the Lamb. Those who long only for me, who find that I am their all-sufficiency, their fullness of glory, who care not at all for the honor from men or for doctrines that tickle the ears of the listeners. I am seeking for a people who care for nothing else but to commune with me in the Holy of Holies, a people who desire nothing other than to be completely consumed by my holy presence. Who care not to carry a label or testament as to their faithfulness unto me because of the trials that they have thus far endured? I am seeking for a people who will worship me in spirit and in truth, and that the same people care not for any other thing except to bless my name in pure worship, a people whom I have formed, whom I would form together into a living tabernacle worthy to bear my holy name, who care not to be found in any other place than at the place of my feet, the place wherein they would learn only of me. Therefore, to bring such a people unto me, I will lower the hedge of protection that I have thus far placed around about you, my sons and my daughters. I will allow a much greater measure of the mystery of iniquity and of the spirits of wickedness in the realms of principality and power to assail your vessels of clay, that you will learn in a greater measure to separate yourselves unto me in earnestness and in much fear. For this is a time of great lukewarmness in the sons of faith. I will not have those who bear the mantle of my anointing to be placid in their walk with me. You must learn once again what it means to run with patience this race that is still before you. Yea, I am the Lord who seeks such as are worthy to endure the hardness of rejection and refusal from men in a much greater measure than they have to this time. I seek for those who, with Jesus as the pattern son, will seek no reputation, who will seek no life of their own, nor store up for the protection that the world would afford. These are men who are willing to abandon all other things to worship me alone. These are they who shall form my body in the earth, who shall bear my name, and who in the end shall not be ashamed before me when I come again. Yea, I am lowering the hedge of protection around my precious saints, and a great tumult will begin, even now, to arise against your very footsteps that you would now take in me. You shall find yourself seeking hard after me, if you do indeed have a heart that longs for only your Lord. If your heart is otherwise minded, then the fires of tribulation shall be stoked 7 times hotter to bring you to a place wherein you will choose to seek me and live. I am going now to judge the earth, and my judgments will first begin with those who love to seek me and love me, and those who bear my holy name. Yea, I am the Lord. End prophecy and first vision. Second vision. Laid out upon the cross was the corporate overcomer, a representation of that group, that company that in this time are set aside unto the coming of the Lord and for his purpose in preparing a company of people for ruling and reigning with him. This one was as one man laid on the ground on the cross as it lay flat. The hands and feet were being nailed to the beams of this cross. Around this one single man were the voices of those who were familiar to them, friends and those in company with them who had not been made part of this one man, which I saw laid out upon the wood of the cross. These others who stood by were mocking this one man and saying unto him things that were just as hurtful as the nails. You cannot overcome. You cannot be part of what the Lord is doing in this hour. You cannot be used of the Lord for any greater purpose or for any work in the things of the Lord in this last day. You are being crucified because you are not of any value to us. These who mocked also knew the greater things of the Lord in doctrine and in past motions of the Spirit of the Lord, but they were not part of this one man who laid upon the cross in impaling. End second vision. Third vision. Then was my right arm supported, and I was carried to a place barren and waste, a land that was in the earth as though it had no water. The angel which was with me set me upon the barren landscape, brown with no life. I could see the circumference of the earth set in its courses and in the purpose of the living Lord who did show me these things. In front of me was one very small, very gnarled fig tree, no leaves on its branches, no seeming life within it. A storm assailed the tree. The storm was dark and black and very tempestuous, with much wind and black clouds, but no rain. The storm assailed on the little gnarled fig tree, bending it and whipping its branches in every direction, causing it to bend to near breaking. However, I was curious as to the strength of this tree, for it endured such a horrible storm upon it. As I looked closely at the branches, little buds with veins of green began to form in the parts of the branches. These buds grew and swelled and became rich in green color. The more the storm assailed the tree in this barren landscape, the more the buds swelled and grew greener and more alive, bursting open in blossoms and life in the midst of the storm. End third vision. Fourth vision. I beheld, as it were, the first vision. However, instead of a fig tree, I saw a cross with the overcomers as one company upon it. The cross was assailed from all sides with a horrendous dark storm and tempest, worse than any storm I have seen upon the earth. The crucified one was impaled solidly upon the wood of the cross, and the storm could not wrench the body from the impaled nails that held it secure. Yet within the body was the light of the ages, the light of life itself. Although the body perished, it became an avenue of life for this life of the ages to begin to flow unabated out and to flow as a river of living waters, immeasurable and unbounded, onto this parched landscape to water it, and to nourish it, and to restore it completely into the full expanse of the same life that the crucified one carried within. End fourth vision. End visions. The Lord never establishes a new thing until the old thing is completely done. Once the things which were previously ordained have run their course, then the new thing begins. However, the old things finger joint perfectly with the new things to establish an overall picture of not only the will of the Lord, but his great plan. As it is, we are being taken back yet once more into a clear definition of the term repentance. Not just repentance from dead works of religious effort, but repentance that is necessary and is part of the Lord's purpose for those who would overcome. My thoughts were about the new things, but the Spirit of the Lord in answer concerning my inquiry about his coming and his promise was to bring me back to clarity, to clarify, and to lend definition to repentance. The Lord wants all of us to understand what repentance is, what he expects of us from it, and how we are to walk repentant before him. For I dare say that the command we have from 1 Peter 1:16 is to be holy as he is holy. The only avenue available for us for this holiness comes by the cleansing of the blood of Christ and our repentance, so that this holiness can be realized. This writing is just as important to know as any other about the coming of Christ or of the reception of the glorified body. Repentance must be first. So the definition of repentance has to be understood in our minds by the Holy Spirit making it real unto us. Not a repentance that we have seen in the past where no change takes place in the nature of a man, but a true, genuine repentance whereby the power of the resurrection of Christ takes reality in our faith and we see the areas of prideful flesh removed from us in the process. Repentance is not an act of aggressive will and determination to not commit a sin. Repentance, simply defined, means to turn to the Lord and to agree with him. We agree with him that our fallen Adamic nature cannot be fixed. It must be removed by the power of the Lord's judgments in our members. We agree with him that the creation in our hearts, the part of us that is born again, cannot be defiled. However, the Lord desires the whole of the man, not just part of the man, but the entire man, to be holy in his sight. Therefore, he created the vehicle of repentance for that purpose to be fulfilled. One cannot cause their nature of flesh to cease existence by sheer act of repentant will. The flesh nature in man is an entity which wars against the pure desire to be holy before the Lord in all things. As one would desire to be holy, the flesh nature resists this and wars against it. That means that repentance must be something else, because the Lord, in leading us to his coming and into his promise to make us one with himself in pure holiness, also requires true repentance, even in this late hour. Jesus said to repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, repentance and the revelation of his kingdom goes hand in hand. They work together, and whether you receive this or not, they also are timed together in the economy of God. The Lord's promise of his coming is true, and he shall bring his kingdom here to this world to consume it entirely and to draw this entire world up into his everlasting dominion. The one particle that works with this promised bringing of the kingdom of God is repentance. Therefore, a true definition of repentance must be forthcoming. To give this definition, one must understand that the act of volition will never make one holy or pure or without the contaminants of the carnal nature. One cannot will, one cannot will an end to the fleshly lusts and carnal desires. Repentance that is acceptable to the Lord for him to bring his kingdom must therefore mean something else. It does, and it is acceptable and true, that repentance is not what we have been taught thus far. The sight and the need for repentance has slipped from us, yet to this basic of foundations we need to return to be sure that we have done the Lord's will in this matter. Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3. True repentance is ever so simple. It is to agree with the Lord. Agree that we are defiled, and agree that he can clean us up. Agree that we need to be cleansed of all that remains of this carnal condition. I dare say that in this hour, the child of the Lord who truly longs for the kingdom of God has come to a great quandary. They find themselves with ever-increasing volumes of flesh and carnality. They find themselves with a greater urgency to be correct before the Lord, but the resistance of the carnal side of their life overpowers their will to be correct and right in all their decisions and in the way they walk before the Lord. That is because the Lord has stoked up the fires of tribulation seven times hotter. The dross is being boiled up in the life of the child of God as never before. This proves that they are in genuine repentance. So then, the next parameter of this miracle of repentance comes into play. As one agrees with the Lord that they need to be cleaned up, it paves the way for the Lord's will to be done in them. As they are receptive to his will being done in their lives, the Lord begins, by the power of Christ's resurrection, to deliver them. He has delivered them, and he will yet deliver them. The Lord delivers them out of the mouth of the lion, 2 Timothy 4:17. As one agrees with the Lord, which is true repentance, they begin to fasten their gaze upon Christ alone as never before, and as they do, their flesh loses power. They begin to feast on the Lord and upon his body and blood, eating and drinking the body and blood of Christ with a ravenous passion to consume it all, to ingest the Christ into their lives as never before. This is so important to understand, that the consuming of the body of our Lord and drinking his blood is a genuine act of repentance on our part. It is obedience on our part and gives the Lord full measured ability to motion in us as he pleases. The Apostle Paul was delivered again and again in his life because he agreed with the Lord concerning his true spiritual condition. This agreement was found in Romans 7 in the contesting of flesh versus spirit, and as a result of this revelation that the apostle was hid in Christ, the Lord began to deliver him. And so he is going to also now deliver the overcomers. I say this now in prophecy, the coming of the kingdom of God, the reception of our full promise, goes hand in hand with our continued repentance, which is agreement with the Lord and is a turning unto him. As we do, he removes the life and power of carnality bit by bit until we remember it is no more a walk in it, until we remember it no more and walk in it no more, rejoicing in our fellowship with him. May the Lord hasten this to us at this time. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.